right, we have two cases on our 9 o'clock docket, and we will proceed through both of them. First case, Columbia North Hills versus Alvarez. If the clerk will please announce counsel. Thank you. Ms. Bunn.
Good morning. I am losing my voice, so it is going to be painful to listen to me today. I apologize in advance.
We understand everything is going around with everybody.
Okay. If I start squeaking, just, you know, give me a minute, and I will try to clear it up. Your Honors, this is a Chapter 74 case. It's a health care liability claim. The underlying case, the plaintiff went in for a vaginal hysterectomy. She came out of surgery. During the course of her post-operative care, she was seen by no less than six physicians who were all monitoring her blood pressure and were giving her treatments. She was returned to surgery because she was diagnosed with hemorrhagic shock. She was returned to surgery to stop the bleeding. She died shortly thereafter. Plaintiffs filed a lawsuit against all six physicians and the hospital and the nurses. The claim against the hospital is a direct liability claim as well as a vicarious liability claim. Plaintiffs filed a Chapter 74 expert report by a Dr. Tuleman. One expert report for all of the defendants involved, including all six physicians, the hospital, and the nurses. We have objected to the expert report. In the underlying case, the Judge Walker gave the plaintiffs a 30-day extension to cure some deficiencies in the report. The second report came in. We objected to the second report, and that is what this appeal is based upon here today. First of all, we criticize the report in that Dr. Tuleman has not demonstrated his qualifications to talk about a post-operative nursing care or the hospital's policies and procedures. Specifically, we would point the court to Concentra versus Everly, where this court held that the doctor did not demonstrate his qualifications to talk about a physician's assistant. And we rely on that case, Your Honors, because we don't say that a doctor is never qualified to talk about another healthcare provider, in this case, a nurse. However, we do suggest that the doctor must demonstrate in his report how and why he is qualified. In Dr. Tuleman's report, he says that he has worked with the nurses and that he is familiar with the standard of care. This is conclusory. There is nothing in his report or his CV to suggest why he would be familiar with the standard of care for postoperative nurses. To say that he works with nurses is insufficient. A doctor works with lab techs. A doctor works with radiologists. A doctor works with many different types of healthcare professions in a hospital setting. This does not mean he's an expert in each and every single discipline and every single practice. A nurse has different licensing standards, different education, and a different approach to resident or patient care. Dr. Tuleman has not demonstrated in his report why he is qualified to talk about postoperative nursing care. Nor has he discussed how he's qualified to talk about hospital administration. He is critical of the hospital and a direct liability claim for not establishing training or supervision guidelines for nurses or for developing policies and procedures. However, nothing in his report indicates that he has any experience with any of those disciplines with respect to a hospital. As such, we do not feel that Dr. Tuleman has demonstrated his experience and his ability to discuss the standard of care applicable to the hospital and or nurses.
Let me ask a question, though. What about in his opening paragraph of his expert report, he says he has been the chairman of the Texas Health Resources Presbyterian Hospital Dallas Quality Improvement Committee for 4 years. Also, he was a member of the Clinical Case Review Committee of Margot Perot Hospital.
Yes, Your Honor. The QI committee is not, in a hospital setting, does not generally develop policy and procedures, it focuses on physicians, not on nurses. for the doctor to just put that out there without explaining to us, to the court, or to defense counsel, why it is that a QI, being on the QI Improvement Committee or being on a clinical case review committee, would require us to assume or to infer his qualifications, and that is improper to do so. So just citing these in and of itself is not sufficient to establish his qualifications.
I'm looking at his first report, and it says for over 22 years he's cared for patients just like Ms. Alvarez hundreds of times, familiar with the standard of care for such patients, based on personal experiences, decades in the profession. As a function of my practice in obstetrics and gynecology, as well as the administrative physicians above, I'm familiar with the standards of care. And then he says specifically down at the bottom of that first paragraph, I'm familiar with the standards of care as they apply to nurses and to administration of the Department of Gynecology from physicians and administrators' viewpoint. I work with consulting physicians as well as recovery room and post-operative nurses, and am familiar with their training and standards as they apply to them. So when you look at the report as a whole, looking at saying he's been doing gynecology work, which would include hysterectomies, vaginal hysterectomies, in recovery, looking at people, his patients in the recovery room after that surgery for 22 years, I'm not sure I follow how you're saying that he doesn't have experience in dealing with the standards of care applicable to post-operative recovery room nurses.
I believe what he's saying there, and that's a very good point, but the way we read it is that he's saying that I'm an experienced physician, I've dealt with these patients before, and I'm familiar with the standard of care, the medical care given to these patients. He does not go on and say, he's left us to assume that he follows their post-operative care. He's left us to assume that he's done these vaginal hysterectomies himself. He leaves us to assume that he supervises these nurses in post-operative care and has dealt with patients who have experienced hemorrhagic shock following a vaginal hysterectomy without saying that. And I don't know that that's... Is he talking about vaginal hysterectomies or patients with hemorrhagic shock? That's unclear in the report, and I think it could be and should be much more clear in order to establish his qualifications. With respect to standard of care, Dr. Tuleman says that the nurses, the crux of this case is that he says the nurses did not ensure that the patient was returned to surgery. And that is not the standard of care for nurses. Nurses do not diagnose. They do not treat. They do not decide when a patient returns to surgery. They do not perform the surgery. This it's axiomatic that the nursing care is separate than physician care. Texas Occupation Code says nurses don't do that. And for Dr. Tuleman to suggest that the standard of care here is for the nurses to override not one, not two, three, four, five, but six separate physicians, and to go and seek out some physician to perform surgery would require them to be performing medical diagnosis and medical treatment. That's not
the... He doesn't really say that. He says that they should have invoked their chain of command and or enlisted the help of the two RNs who did participate at an earlier point of view. He doesn't say that the nurses should have, I guess, ordered the surgery.
What he does say is the nurses should have ensured surgery. They went to their CNO, their chief nursing operator. They went to a nurse manager. They had six different physicians involved in the care of this patient. What more could they have done? And Dr. Tuleman says they should have ensured that she was returned to surgery. And that is not the standard of care for a nurse to do. A nurse reports the condition to the physician, and the nurse, in this case, there is nothing to say that the physicians were not aware of the condition of the patient. And the nurses, that is the standard of care. And it just underlines Dr. Tuleman's lack of qualifications to talk about the nursing standard of care, because he obviously does not quite understand it. He is raising the level of care for a nurse in this case beyond that which it should be. With respect to the hospital, he talks about the hospital standard of care, and res ipsa is not permissible in a med mal case. And he says the bad outcome shows that the hospital must not have had good training and or must not have had appropriate policies and procedures. But he doesn't link any facts to those conclusions. There is nothing in his report to suggest that the hospital's training or retention or supervision was inappropriate. There is no discussion whatsoever about the hospital's chain of command policy. He assumes a lot in this case based on the bad outcome, and that is not an appropriate evaluation of the standard of care, and it gives neither defense counsel nor this court any information to determine the merits of this case, which is what the report is for. Finally, with respect to causation, he simply says that if the patient had been returned to surgery, she would have survived. There's nothing in his report, again, that links this conclusion to any facts. There's nothing that says when the patient could have been or should have been returned to surgery in order to ensure her viability. There is nothing in the report that suggests that but for her being returned to surgery 2 hours after she was deemed to be in distress, that she would have survived. There's nothing that says that she would have survived if she had been returned to surgery at a point specific. And without linking the underlying facts to the conclusion, it's just not a sufficient report with respect to causation.
But does his expert report have to say but for? Doesn't it just have to reach this in all medical probability where it says Mrs. Alvarez would be alive today?
Yes, Your Honor. This case is a lot like what this court decided in Estroque versus Schaefer, which it was a case that focused on the delayed referral to a consultation. And this court in that case said that the expert report did not suggest when the referral should have taken place and therefore was insufficient. So I do think there needs to be more of a linkage to the facts and more of an explanation of why, but for sending her to surgery earlier, it caused her death. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Bunn. Mr. Lassiter.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Lawrence Lassiter with the law firm Miller Weisbrod, and I represent the appellees in this matter. As Ms. Bunn discussed, this is a case involving what happened after the operation on Sandra Alvarez when she went into the hospital for a hysterectomy. She was in surgery for about 3.5 hours, and in the recovery room, her blood pressure dropped. She had no urine output. And then 6 different doctors and various nurses were involved as she laid there for 8 hours and basically bled to death. 8 hours after the symptoms of hemorrhagic shock appeared, she was finally taken back into surgery. Dr. Tuleman explains the effect of that delay, the role of the nurses in that, and the role of the hospitals. The trial court did not abuse its discretion in concluding that this report was sufficient, that it met the standards under Chapter 74. This is not a Daubert-Robinson proceeding. It's not a summary judgment hearing. The Texas legislature has asked plaintiffs, required plaintiffs, to bring an expert report that identifies the standard of care, how the particular defendant breached the standard of care, and links those to the damage to the plaintiff. We're supposed to put the defendant on notice of the conduct that's being called into question and give the trial court a sense that this case has some merit. And the trial court properly concluded that we did that here. They attack his report on 2 different grounds, qualifications and then a general attack on his opinions with respect to the standard of care breach and causation. With respect to qualifications, a doctor can testify about the standard of care applicable to a nurse. That's well-settled Texas law. This court has said, as Ms. Bunn cited your case, Concentra versus Everly, the key is whether or not the physician can say that he or she has familiarity with the issues that are before the court. And I don't know that you could find a doctor who has more experience with these specific issues than Dr. Tuleman. He's familiar with the standard of care as they apply to the nurses. He has experience in obstetrics and gynecology, the fields that are at issue here. He says, I have experience caring for patients in postoperative period following a vaginal hysterectomy with suspicion of postoperative hemorrhage, the exact situation that we have here. He says, I work with the recovery room nurses, the postoperative nurses. I'm familiar with how these things are supposed to be done. I've been doing it for 20 years. That's not conclusory. That's what his experience is. It's with the very issues that are before the court. And the same goes with respect to the hospital and its policies about the chain of command. We're not talking about exactly what nurses are supposed to be doing. What he says is that a nurse has more responsibility than to just stand there and do what the doctor says. That there is a responsibility a nurse has to invoke the chain of command when something is going wrong, when a nurse in this particular area should do something and should know that you shouldn't just let the doctors let this woman lay there and bleed to death. They need to go up the chain of command and try to find somebody to make sure that the right thing gets done here. He also talks about his familiarity with the standard of care for nurses and the administration of the Department of Gynecology, both from a physician's point of view and an administrator's. I do this all the time. I work with consulting physicians as well as recovery room and postoperative nurses. I'm familiar with their training and the standards as they apply to them. It's right there in the report. With respect to the standard of care and breach, as I said, he says the nurses do have this responsibility. They may not agree with that. They may say the standard of care is different, that a nurse doesn't have that responsibility. And that's fine. They can do that. We can do that at a Daubert-Robertson hearing. We can do that at trial. We can do that in a summary judgment. We can have a battle of the experts. What she's asking you to do is to decide that battle before it's even started, to say right here that his standard of care is wrong. That's not what happens at the Chapter 74 stage of a proceeding. Disagreement is not the standard. He has elucidated the standard. He's explained the breach, and he's explained the causal link. That's what we're supposed to do in a Chapter 74 report. So, in our opinion, the trial court didn't abuse the discretion, and the decision should be affirmed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lassiter.
May I respond, Your Honors?
Yes.
Nothing in Dr. Tuleman's report says what the nurses should have done with respect to the chain of command. It says the nurses should have invoked a chain of command and done what? Ensured a seventh physician take a look at the patient, ensure an eighth, a ninth, a tenth. What he is saying is that the nurses should have known that surgery was required and should have insisted that surgery be performed. That is not...
His report says the standard of care for the nursing staff requires that they both recognize and effectively communicate the emergency nature of the situation.
There is nothing in his report, though, that says that the doctors were not aware of the emergency situation or that they failed to do that. There is, in his report, he says, he notes the six doctors...
How could he say that the doctors... I mean, how could he offer that opinion of what another doctor knew in an expert report?
There are cases where there are opinions where the doctors, where the nurses failed to report vital signs to the doctor, and the doctor did not know about the emergency situation, and that is a breach of the standard of care. That's not the situation we have here. There's nothing in his report that says that the nurses failed to communicate the vital signs, the condition of the patient to the doctors, or the doctors were not aware that she was in a hemorrhagic shock or that they were failing to treat her for that. In fact, his own report says that all six of the doctors were aware of her condition. All six of the doctors took steps to treat her by prescribing vasopressors, by blood transfusions, by all these steps. At what point, he does not say, where the nurses should say, hey, doctors, what you're doing just isn't working and isn't enough. And so I think that we need to go to a seventh doctor, an eighth doctor, a ninth doctor to ensure surgery. And that is not a fair standard of care. That is not the standard of care. And in Appley's suggestion that, well, just because you don't agree that that's not the standard of care, that's not the discussion we should be having here. I disagree with that. I think that is the discussion. In the Palacios case, the Texas Supreme Court said that we need to ensure that we have the correct standard of care. The standard of care is critical to ensure that we have a good case. What we're doing here today is to ensure that this case has merit to go forward. And if the law, if the Texas Occupation Code says that a nurse does not diagnose and does not treat, then there is no reason to go through this exercise of what is an incorrect standard of care. We know what the standard of care is. It's the law. They do not diagnose and they do not treat. And there's nothing in the report to suggest that they failed to effectively do the chain of command. There's nothing in the report that says what they should have done differently.
What about the part of the report, it's on the last page, where it talks about the nurse's failure to adequately report the blood loss count?
There is nothing in the report that indicates that the blood loss of 4,800 cc's was unknown to the physicians and or that it caused her death. There is nothing in the report to link the claim that they inadequately observed that to the death. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Ms. Bunn. Thank you, Mr. Lasker. We appreciate your arguments today and your briefing in preparation for this case. Your case is now submitted. You are excused, and we will proceed to